following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRNN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John, and, well, I'm 2 days away from a real trial, I believe, in my seatbelt case. It'll be happening this Wednesday. Jury selection starts at 10 o'clock, and it's at the McHenry County Courthouse in Woodstock, courtroom A360, in front of Judge Susan Mangiomelli, who warned me 5 times, last week at a hearing that if I'm going to argue my pro se, that I have to be under the same rules as a licensed attorney, and anything deviating from that would be subject to criminal contempt of court.
Oh, no.
So, it will be very interesting. Now, their motion in limine was only, City of Algonquin's motion in limine was only partially granted. And that had to do with arguing the Constitution in front of the jury. So, there's a lot of gray area there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
A lot of gray area there left, and we shall see. We shall see what happens. So,
public is welcome at this trial.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. 8:360, 10 o'clock a.m. will be jury selection. I'm sure it'll happen in one day. I haven't decided whether or not to hire a court reporter. In these cases, we don't have a right to court reporter.
No.
That's because it's a so-called petty offense.
A so-called petty offense.
Petty, unquote, quote, petty, unquote, offense.
You need to be more of a criminal to get more rights? Is that
right.
What you're saying?
Yeah, that's basically it.
Oh,
that's basically it. So I would have to hire a court reporter privately at like $300 an hour.
Holy cow.
So I haven't decided
whether
or not to go with that yet. Sounds pretty darn expensive. Of course, that's the way that's the way the system is set up, folks. That's called justice in America. Land of the free, home of the brave. Home of the brave. So, anyway, that's my court case. It's for those of you who are listening for the first time to this radio show, 2 years and 5 months ago, I was pulled over by an officer of the law in Algonquin for no other reason than for the fact that he perceived that I wasn't wearing my seatbelt. And, of course, I had vowed on this very radio show just a month before that to fight in every manner possible any of these laws in case I had been pulled over for such an offense, and vowed not to pay a fine if I got a fine for a seatbelt case. So I'm trying to follow through with my vow on those matters, and that'll be come to a head this Wednesday.
Kenneth, you know, I apologize for not being around your show for more than the last 3 months, but this happened 2.5 years ago.
Yes.
And it was just...
Murder cases have happened in a lot less time.
Oh, man.
Than that. And most of the continuances has been from the other side. I think what they thought from the beginning is that they could just wear me out. And
yeah.
And then that would, you know, and then I would just finally succumb to them and pay the fine, and that'd be it. And it wasn't until the last week or so they decided they were going to play a little more hardball. Kind of figured that I'm not going away.
And you're not going away.
No, I'm not going away. No.
Not good for you. But 2.5 years seems like a long time for them to, I don't know if I want to say waste their time and energy and money on the situation.
Pretty incredible. The only thing I could say is I can find a little solace. See, in my mind, I've already won in a sense, because it seems to me it's very, very likely that the City of Algonquin and their attorney fees fighting me have probably exceeded any of the revenue they've gotten in the past 2.5 years for seatbelts.
Oh, absolutely. And there's no question about that. That, yeah. I mean, they should really take a look at what's going on here and realize,
And this is a war of attrition. It's not an easy war, folks. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. And just think, instead of one person fought the seatbelt or whatever laws you consider unjust, you know, two or three or four or 10 or 100 did, you know, we could, I believe we could restore freedoms in this country, folks.
All it takes is a little fight.
I'm just trying to do my part. And we'll see what happens. All right, on to stupid regulation of the week. And I think, you know, we've talked a little bit about this. I don't know as a stupid regulation or not. Can't recall. I'm reminded of it because talking with a person whose intelligence I highly respect didn't believe this is possible. And I know it's happened. And that is the banned books in the country. Yes, we do have banned books. In the land of the free. We're fighting the war in Iraq for what? For the rights of for their government to ban books in their country? Is that what freedom and democracy is supposed to be all about? That we can ban books? So there's been Ben Erwin Schiff, the celebrated tax resister, has had his books through court order, the publishing of them banned by the U.S. government. The U.S. government has also banned certain alternative healthcare books that don't toe the line to the official position of what is proper health care in this country. Those books have been banned. And I mention this because I was rather amazed that the person whose intelligence I really respect couldn't believe it, so I was amazed that there's other people out there that don't understand or believe it, that we actually have banned books in this country. But yes, we do, folks. So, just wanted to mention that. No big deal about it, except for the obvious thing that in a country that's supposed to be free, supposed to have freedom, that's supposed to have a constitution that secures rights, including free speech rights, that banned books should be out of the question, period. Out of the question, period. So, something to ponder, folks. All right, we're going to have a guest today. And his name is Jacob Hornberger. He's been on the show before. He's a great libertarian, a great spokesman for libertarian beliefs. He's the president of the Future Freedom Foundation. And we'll be talking about a variety of subjects, including the continuing debacle of the war in Iraq with Jacob. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. This is Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John. We will be back after a few messages.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, non-profit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Ring to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Ring. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
And you may
Right. We are back with Freedom Rings. I'd like to welcome to the program this morning my colleague of great renown in libertarian circles, Jacob Hornberg, president of the Future Freedom Foundation. Jacob, how you doing?
Doing fine, Ken. Nice to be back with you.
Yeah, great to hear from you.
Thank you.
Well, a lot has happened since we talked last, but of course, the main thing is this continuing debacle in Iraq. Latest of which, it just amazes me. Some people have to actually try to even support this, like Pat Buchanan, who's against the war. The exercise of paying journalists in Iraq to publish our propaganda. Do you have any comments?
Well, it's just part and parcel of the tremendous corrupting process that this war has done to government officials. It's just amazing. I mean, you've got that. You've got all the torture, the sex abuse, the rape. Just the general sense of how corrupting war is, and especially an aggressive war, a war that was unnecessary. I think this propaganda part is just part and parcel of it.
I think you're absolutely right, and I just like to know what goes on through the mind of what I might call an ordinary American, because it seems to me it's got to be repulsive to them to hear these things. But at least at the beginning of the war, I think things like Abu Ghraib, they just kind of sloughed off as something you have to do, though. The means is justified by the end, because we're fighting this noble battle. But,
Well, it was very brilliant on how the war was marketed, and that's what it was. It was marketing the war, and they started out by terrifying the American people with the prospect of a nuclear warfare,
right.
And that the nuclear bombs were imminent, they were coming, we can't give the inspectors any more time, they're about to land, and everybody was scared, and so then when that didn't pan out, they turned to their alternative justification, or one of the many alternative ones, is saying, well, we're going to bring democracy to Iraq, we're going to free the Iraqi people. And I mean, you look at what's gone on in this country, in that country, it's just unbelievable. And I think it's much a repeat of World War One, where they said they sold that war on the basis that this will be the war to finally bring peace to the world and finally bring democracy to the world. And of course, all it did was kill a lot of people and give rise to the conditions of Hitler 20 years later. And this war, the alternative justification is being built on that same notion, and we can see the same corrupting aspect, not to mention the perverse results. And I think it's finally starting to dawn on people, Ken, that what this government has succeeded in doing is ousting one brutal regime and putting in another brutal regime that may be even worse than Saddam's regime. I mean, surely it's torturing people, but it's actually aligned itself with Iran, which President Bush has said is an evil regime.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's like the thought says, because this whole business ever since the beginning, when we got rid of Saddam's sons, that was going to be it. Then things were going to get better. And when we found Saddam, then things were going to be better. Then when we
bomb the heck out of Fallujah, reduce it to rubble. Then that was, things are going to get better then. And every time we do something that creates a lot of innocent people being killed, we may kill one or two so-called terrorists and multiply in its place. And again, what I think what you're suggesting, that American people are starting to figure that out, that we're creating more resistance than was there in the first place.
I think the pro-war faction is disintegrating. When this Congressman Murtha came out with his statement, and Bush and Cheney made their standard diatribe about how he's unpatriotic and he's a traitor, and they realized that Murtha was going to come back swinging when he referred to Cheney's five deferments while Murtha's a war hero. I think what really hit them, though, is when they studied Murtha's document. I saw an article on this on Counterpunch today that they realized that Murtha was getting a lot of his information in all likelihood from Army generals. They were using him as a way to say, this thing is breaking the military, it's breaking the country. And Murtha was simply the sound piece of a lot of Army generals that can't say what they'd like to say publicly. And I think once that starts dawning on people, the pro-war element is going to disintegrate.
It sounds like it's happening.
Yeah.
Do you think that this is the end of neoconservatism, that conservatism as we know it with Murtha coming out against the war?
I think it's the end of the war as we know it. I don't think there's any doubt that Bush is now going to pull the troops out, and he's going to forget to stay the course business. I mean, he still may use the lingo, but there's no doubt he's going to start pulling the troops out. And I think under the guise that, oh, well, now everything's fine. We've won, democracy's here, and so forth. But I think the pullout's already beginning.
Well, let's hope so, but let's hope it's not so that they can decide they're going to go after Iran or Syria later. I just wonder if you know, a trapped rat, you know, in a corner is going to pounce. I just wonder if these neoconservatives are going to have a last dying gasp and just try to go after Iran too.
Very likely. I mean, they know what war does. I mean, it brings forth that mindset of conformity and all the assaults on liberty, intellectual liberty, civil liberties. They convince people not to protest. So, the war is the big government's biggest fan. I think what we need to do is try to raise people's vision to the ultimate solution to this is not just withdrawing from Iraq. It's dismantling this empire that we permitted to come into existence at the cost of a republic.
But some country has to be the leader of the world, Jacob, don't they? And we're the obvious leader of the world, so we either have to lead or we're going to be following.
Well, I think the question is what is leadership? Do we want government to do that type of leadership, or do we want the American people as the private sector? And we need to draw that distinction. There's a big distinction between government and the country. And the American government has caused a lot of anger and hatred against our country. If we can rein in the government and then free up the American people, free trade, free travel, free movements of people, interactions. I mean, Americans are the greatest diplomats that we could ever hope to have. The world loves the American people.
I've always said that. Levi's and McDonald's probably had more to do with dismantling the Soviet Empire than probably anything else.
Absolutely. I mean, it's those cultural groups, business interactions, tourism. These are the kind of things that strengthen bonds between nations. And when you've got a government that's out of control, and this government is totally out of control, killing, bombing, torturing people all over the world, that's going to create a lot of anger and animosity against the American people. We've got a great article today we're linking to in our daily email update on our website today about how American businesses are getting hurt by all of the anger and animosity that the U.S. government has generated for Americans overseas.
Oh, and now we're hearing about these CIA secret prisons throughout Europe. Just where does it end?
Oh, it's horrible. And the worst of all, they're in Soviet communist-era compounds in Eastern Europe. I mean, here the Soviet Union vacates and we take over. The same thing that they did is Abu Ghraib. This is where Saddam used to torture, and now you've got U.S. troops doing the same thing Saddam was doing, or Saddam's forces, actually.
And meanwhile, domestically, not to shift the discussion too much, but meanwhile, domestically, and this reminds me of it, I remember back in the 50s, Jacob, watching these old Nazi films, you know, Nancy of Peppers, please?
And domestically, we've adopted the Soviet and the Nazi tactics of having roadblocks set up all over the place and asking for papers.
Well, that's right. That you've got that Supreme Court ruling now that they can just stop any American walking along the street and say, we want identification from you, which, as you point out, is the old papers concept. Let us see your papers. And I think what people need to recognize is that this is all normal in times of perpetual war. And Madison pointed this out, that of all the enemies to liberty, war is the biggest. And he's talking about enemies being your own government, because under war, every other element of assault on liberty is subsumed.
War is the health of the state. There's just absolutely no question about it. And it's unfortunate that some people, even though some of our colleagues, Jacob, at the beginning at least, seem to be sucked up into this notion that we needed to just go after the terrorists in whatever fashion. And they call themselves libertarian. We could question whether or not that's a libertarian concept or not, with going to foreign countries and invading. And in my mind, it's not. But I guess my point is that what we might consider reasonable people, they get sucked into this whole unity notion of fighting for America against the enemy through war.
Right, and they don't recognize that what they're doing by advocating that is they're abandoning any hope of achieving liberty, rightly understood, here at home. I mean, you know, libertarians understand what the true principles of freedom are. We're talking about a society that's totally different from what we have today. No income tax. You keep everything you earn. No Social Security, Medicare, welfare, socialism. No drug war. Free trade. I mean, these were the concepts on which America was founded. I mean, you know that, and yet, how do Americans describe freedom today? Well, they describe it as being taken care of by the government.
Well, and the freedom to regulate your neighbors as far as what they can do with their own property.
Yeah, and take away their money as long as it's done through the Congress or through the state legislature or the city council.
Right, right.
Governments become people's daddy. And libertarians understand that, but yet when they advocate these foreign wars of aggression, they don't recognize that the chances of achieving our goal domestically evaporate as long as you have the government out there being the international policeman of the world.
We're talking with Jacob Hornberger, president of the Future of Freedom Foundation, by the way, which is, I believe, fff.org on the Internet. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. Have any comments, questions, observations, analyses, please give us a call. We will be back after a few messages.
We reduce children to their lowest common denominator. 57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones.
Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected Bill Clinton as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public school.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazzeri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazzeri. Make him your go-to tech guy. Consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Okay, we are back with Freedom Rings. We're talking with Jacob Hornberger, president of the Future of Freedom Foundation. And let's go to the phone. We have John on the line. Hello, John.
Hey, Ken, you said you want to go after these terrorists. How?
I said a lot of libertarians say that they just want to go after terrorists and we're willing to go into foreign lands to get them. The problem is, first of all, I think, you know, Jacob is the guest of the program. I think we should direct the questions to him instead of me
okay.
today. Is your question in general, if somebody does invade our country, how do we, you know, what's the proper libertarian way of going about it?
Jacob's on the show. You're the one who said you wanted to go after the terrorists, and so
I think you misunderstood.
Jacob wants to answer. Then I'm curious as to how or if a libertarian would want to go after these terrorists.
I'll let Jacob take that first.
Okay, there's a two-pronged answer to that. The first answer is that terrorism is not like an unknown disease that just afflicts a society out of nowhere. That's what they say like about inflation. Oh gosh, we've been struck by inflation. This is government caused. The reason there is terrorism is because there is anger and hatred over what the United States government has done to people overseas. If you put a stop to that, you stop the terrorism. The example is the same with respect to, say, domestic terrorism. Timothy McVeigh, he was a terrorist. Somebody would say, well, how do you handle the Timothy McVeighs? Prosecute them. Terrorism is a crime. Bring them into court. Prosecute them. Put them away. Give them a death penalty, whatever. But no more Wacos, because what the government did at Waco generated the anger and hatred that produced the Timothy McVeighs. So, well, there's a two-pronged answer. You stop the government from doing the bad things to people, which dissipates the anger and the hatred, therefore dissipates the terrorism. But in the meantime, you prosecute them the same way the government's prosecuting terrorists in federal court today. That's what a criminal justice system is. Terrorism is a crime. That's why they're indicting people for terrorism.
Well, it was easy to hunt down Timothy McVeigh because he happened to be in the country. I suppose if he'd gone to another country who had given him shelter, then he'd have to violate that country's space to go after him. Also, I'll assume that your solution for preventing terrorism works, but my question was, how do you go after the terrorists that have already attacked our country?
You go after them by hunting them down. There's the terrorist that committed the bombing of the World Trade Center in 1993. They did it twice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time, you didn't go and bomb a bunch of countries. They went out and they did good investigative work, and they arrested the people that were engaged in that bombing. There was another instance of where a terrorist attacked CIA agents outside CIA headquarters. It took them, I think, a couple of years before they finally figured out where this guy was. He was hidden out in Pakistan or something. They went and got him, brought him back, prosecuted him. The guy's now sitting in jail. I mean, as we know in every crime, sometimes you don't catch the guy right away. You know, that terrorist domestically, the guy that committed those bombings at the Olympics in Atlanta, what, it took them, I think, 4 or 5 years before they finally caught up with that guy. But so, that's what we ought to be doing. Instead of going and bombing innocent people that had nothing to do with the terrorism, I mean, you know, that look at what the U.S. government has done in Iraq. They have killed many more innocent people than were killed on 9/11. To a factor of tens of thousands. Many more innocent people in Iraq have been killed. That's no solution to this.
So you want to hunt down the terrorists one at a time?
I'm sorry?
You want to hunt them down one at a time and send James Bond after them or something?
That's exactly what's been happening. You know, I haven't seen any statistics, but if you look at the number of people that have been brought to justice, the Germans have been doing very good work, the English as well, the Spanish too. They go out and they do that investigative work, and they have been bringing these people to justice, and they're still doing it. I mean, this guy Padilla that they called an enemy combatant, they're now eating a little bit of crow, it looks like, because this whole time they said, we can't treat him like a criminal defendant. Yet that's exactly what they've done. They've indicted him for terrorism overseas.
And you're against that?
No, I'm all in favor of it. That's what criminal courts are for. Whether the criminal courts exist in Germany, Spain, the United States, or whatever. If somebody commits an act of terrorism against the United States, he ought to be brought to justice.
Now, if the person
if
who commits the
arrest,
act of terrorism...
I'm sorry?
If the person who commits the act of terrorism takes shelter in a country that is willing to protect them, then how do you track them down?
That is a very difficult problem. In fact, we've got that problem right now where the United States government is protecting an accused terrorist that the Venezuelan government is seeking an extradition under an extradition treaty. Now, what do you suggest the Venezuelan government should do to the United States when the U.S. government is protecting the suspected terrorist?
Well, they could try to attack us if they want, and they'll lose.
Well,
I don't know about this Venezuelan terrorist.
I think it's more appropriate.
I don't think you're going to catch many terrorists if you just track them down one at a time. You're just playing a game of whack-a-mole where, you know, one pops up and you hit them, but they just keep popping up.
So you think the Hiroshima-Nagasaki solution would be better, John? That's the implication.
You know,
that's the implication is that if you can't track them down individually, then kill them collectively. And if you kill a few thousand innocents in the process, that's all well and good?
Well, I think if I was a terrorist, I would want someone like you to be in charge of the U.S. because I really wouldn't be afraid of you. I mean, you're tracking down one at a time. That doesn't really stop the terrorists now, does it? Could you imagine if we tried to go after Nazi Germany that way?
Well, but Nazi Germany was a nation state. We're talking, that's a real war. You're talking about metaphorical wars like the war on drugs. Would you treat drug dealers the same way?
I'm not talking about the war on drugs. I'm talking about terrorism.
But it's the same principle. We're dealing with crimes here. You know, should we go out and look for each drug dealer by himself, or should we start bombing Colombia in order to get all the drug dealers at once? And the problem with the bombing solution is that it actually generates more of the thing that you're trying to avoid. Every family they kill or maim over there generates 10 more terrorists. So even if you follow the route that you're proposing, you're not going to achieve the solution that you'd like to achieve. And that's why I started out by saying if you really want to get rid of terrorism, you've got to focus on what this government is doing to people overseas.
Well, I don't think you can negotiate with the terrorists. And I don't think merely, you know, changing our policy because the terrorists attack us is going to stop terrorism. It seems like you're rewarding it if you do that.
Oh, on the contrary. I mean, if you don't look at the cause of a disease, then you might get the diagnosis wrong. I mean, if you go into the doctor and you say, my stomach's hurting, the doctor says, oh, you got indigestion, take these Rolaids, that's quite a bit different than if he diagnoses you got cancer. And so we've got to diagnose whether, and this is why I said in the beginning, is terrorism a disease of unknown origin, sort of like what they say about inflation, that, oh, inflation attacks a country out of nowhere. Well, it's not out of nowhere. It's because the Federal Reserve is doing bad things to people's money, and the terrorism's the same way. If you look at U.S. foreign policy, if you ask people overseas themselves, including the terrorists, they will tell you, we have nothing against America, we got nothing against your principles, your values, your freedom, it's your government that we're coming after because of what your government has done to people over here. It's the same thing with Timothy McVeigh. When Timothy McVeigh committed his act, they said, let's not go into his motives. Why not go into his motives?
So
well,
the government
his motive
tells you one
was,
thing,
I'm
and
sorry?
The terrorists tell you another thing, and you choose to believe the terrorists.
No, well, what we're trying to do is diagnose what the situation is. And part of that diagnosis is to ask people, if somebody's trying to kill you, it's probably a good idea to ask him, why are you trying to kill me? So that you can understand why he's doing it. Because if you're doing something wrong, let's say you're out there doing bad things to his family, well, maybe you can adjust your conduct where he doesn't want to kill you anymore, especially if you're in the wrong.
And, John, I'd have to add, because you said you differentiate between the terrorists, like the Islamic fascist terrorists, and the terrorists in our government. I'd say they're both terrorists. So why you would believe one over the other, you could believe neither, would be the logic to me. If you define terrorism as the killing of innocent people in order to propagate some kind of goal.
So do you believe everybody associated with our government is then a terrorist?
I think the Bush administration is a terrorist organization. I absolutely do.
I see. So you're gonna defend the terrorists, but go ahead.
No, I'm not defending the terrorists. I'm denouncing, as I think Jacob is denouncing all terrorism, whether it's Islamo-fascist or whether it's neoconservative.
Well, I'm sure denouncing the terrorists will really decrease their numbers. I just don't feel like I would be afraid of a libertarian president.
Well, it's important to be afraid. If you're going to be afraid of anything, and this is what our founding fathers recognized, is that the greatest threat to our liberty does not lie with so-called terrorists or Saddam Hussein or Osama bin Laden. The greatest threat to our freedom lies with the federal government. That's why we have a constitution, because the constitution doesn't protect us from the terrorists. It protects us from federal officials. And federal officials will do whatever is necessary to take away people's freedom. I mean, if that's not a recognized fact, then we don't need a constitution, because the constitution is the barrier. And when they chose to invade this country, they decided to wage a war of aggression. Iraq had never attacked the United States, never threatened to attack the United States.
They did try to assassinate our president, though.
I'm sorry?
They did try to assassinate our president.
Well, not exactly. That's been quite disputed. But if it is the case, it should have been presented to Congress in a request for a declaration of war, instead of the president making that determination on his own. That's what the Constitution's all about. And as you know, the president violated the Constitution by not securing that declaration of war. That makes the war not only violative of the Nuremberg War Crimes Tribunal, they condemned aggressive war, it also violates our Constitution.
That's nice, but I don't see how that's going to catch any terrorists.
Well, but you see, it's that buzzword, the terrorists. The reason they use that buzzword is the same reason they use the mushroom cloud thing, is to scare you.
Well, what do you have to call them?
Well, what do you mean by a terrorist?
I mean people who attack innocent people.
The United States government attacked,
and people who attack this country.
The U.S. government attacked Iraq, and that was an innocent country.
I ask what you want to do to go after the terrorists, and you want to go after the U.S. government.
So you don't care about the terrorists in Washington, though, John. That's the problem. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to interject. I've given you a lot of time, and now the board is still, and we got to move on. I appreciate your call, John.
I appreciate your time. Thank
you. Okay. All right. Let's move on. We have Grace.
Thanks.
Hello, Grace. You're on the air, Grace.
Good morning. I was reading Steve Chapman's commentary in the Tribune, and he said Dick Cheney never mentions how we licked Afghanistan. They were the culprits that attacked the United States. And he mentions that if you attack America, America is going to strike back at you, and we got rid of the Taliban. And then he says, leaving Iraq, Cheney insists, would tell the bad guys they can attack us at home. But leaving Iraq after invading Afghanistan would actually tell them something very different. You may get away with attacking Americans in Iraq, but you can't get away with attacking Americans in America. So if we leave Iraq, they will have no good options for attacking us. And I figure out that with the 2006 elections coming up, a friend and I were talking, watch out for another building going up or something else. So the terrorist in the White House can get some more brownie points and scare his flock of sheep. Thank you.
Any comments, Jacob?
Well, it's just great to see women and men, taking a courageous stand and saying, you know, that our government does do bad things, and it's important for a citizen to stand up and speak out against them. That's what the responsibility of a citizen is, to straighten out his government when his government's in the wrong. And that invasion of Iraq was in the wrong. Why? Because Iraq never attacked the United States.
Okay, let's move on. We have Tom. Hello, Tom. Tom? Oh, Tom's gone. All right, Bob?
Hey, Sam, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Okay, thank your guests for coming on here. You know, the other day, I think it was Friday, I was listening to Paul Harvey, and he's been pretty much of a cheerleader for George Bush. I guess they gave him a National Freedom Award or something. And so he's been like just a rah-rah cheerleader for Mr. Bush for a while, you know, but I still listen to him. But Friday, he was talking about, you know, he said our nation was led into the Vietnam War on the
false pretenses of Gulf of Tonkin.
Exactly, and he said, and those were found to be false also. And he was like making a correlation to this war in Vietnam, and I was like really, I was blown away. I want to go on the internet and go to his website and get it because I mean he works for ABC. He's on a whole bunch of big stations, and for him to admit that it was really a surprise. And he's not so hot on the war these days either. So, like I say, he's working for ABC, he's making big money and pretty big, huge corporation. And for him to say something like that, it was really an eye opener.
Tide's turning, Jacob.
I think it really is, and I think the point that your caller makes is very good, that they lied with respect to Vietnam. They lied about that Gulf of Tonkin resolution. They knew it was a lie, and it was in order to get congressional support for a war that killed some 60,000 of my generation. And they're still lying. They're lying about this WMD as the excuse for invading. Now, this invasion was about regime change. That was what the brutal sanctions that killed so many Iraqi children were all about.
Acceptable, though, according to Albright, right?
Yeah, Albright said that the price of all those dead children were worth it. And what she meant was it was worth getting rid of Saddam and putting in their own lackey in there.
And I think it's important to point that out, too, Jacob, because I talk to a lot of Democrats who they keep on making the mistaken notion that it's those bad Republicans that are doing all these nasty things. Well, at this point in time, yes, it is. But this is a one-party, power-structured party problem.
Look what Clinton did to Serbia to get Monica off the front page. I mean,
that's right. And they were the ones that were enforcing those brutal sanctions where two high UN officials ultimately resigned because of the genocide. They said, we can't participate anymore in this. And if you ask the attackers at the World Trade Center, at least the 1993 ones, they said that those sanctions against Iraq were part of what motivated them to commit that terrorist attack against the World Trade Center. Right. So the Democrats are just as responsible as the Republicans in this thing, or as some people say, the War Party.
Exactly.
Well, thanks a lot, Jeff.
Bob, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. All right, we're talking with Jacob Hornberger of the Future of Freedom Foundation. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. We will be back after a few messages.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruption, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, talking to Jacob Hornberger. Jacob, first of all, if you'd like to, again, give out your website or any phone number if anybody wants to get in touch. And also after that, give us just a brief history of your military record.
Okay, this our website is sff.org, or the Future of Freedom Foundation. And we've got one of what we consider one of the best daily free market editorial pages on the Internet. It goes out free to anybody who subscribes. It's on our website every day, and we put a lot of time and energy on it, and it's all free market-oriented. Better than reading your local paper's editorial page. And, again, that's at sff.org. My own military record, I'm a graduate of Virginia Military Institute, and I was an infantry officer. I spent spent 3 months at infantry school at Fort Benning, and then 8 years in the reserves.
Okay. Now, you did mention briefly about the libertarians would, you know, get rid of the income tax, and I'm sure that raised some eyebrows up there who don't understand. How can the government be without all that revenue they're getting from the income tax? How could we possibly function?
Well, we also do the flip side, and we argue that the government has no business being in the socialism business, and that's the business of taking money from one person and giving it to another person, which includes Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, welfare, corporate subsidies, and the like. I think, Ken, it's important that in this debate at the future direction of this country, and I think this debate is coming now, especially with this major watershed of this disaster in Iraq, is that we examine what our founding fathers and our ancestors ancestors believed in compared to what we have done with this country. I mean, if you take, let's say, 1890 America, they lived with no income tax, no Social Security, welfare, Medicare, Medicaid, public government schooling, drug war, immigration controls, gun control. Why? Because that's what they understood as freedom. That freedom is that you decide what to do with your own money.
Jacob, thank you very much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Ken. Appreciate it. Thank your callers and listeners.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications.